So welcome in, Kingly Brothers and Heroic Husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this special guest episode in the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. Today we're welcoming on Caroline and Alan from Denmark, or albeit I need to say there's English heritage in fine three lines on the shirt, Alan coming in, but coming in living in Denmark. Alan has been a member of Heroic Husbands for I think it's coming up on a year now, and Caroline has been so gracious and so courageous to come in, and I really hope put the fire and flame under Alan's ass, because this is more initiatory testing of Alan here now today. Caroline and Alan, thank you so much. You're so welcome to come on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I will bring out something here, and I have to say, like behind the scenes, we get the juice behind the scenes, Caroline, clearly, in Heroic Husbands, Alan and the guys sharing. And Alan, I want to say, was so proud there in the last week because, as you know, the Fierce Feminine Feedback Questionnaire came out, and you, as his beautiful goddess, said, no, not now. It would be straight tens. That would be an obsolete exercise. And, I was so glad this morning, Caroline. Because via messages by Alan, I learned this morning that he royally fucked up. He got into a gnarly to and fro that us gnarly men behind the scenes were having in blue belt leadership, and he got caught in his head. So I'm glad of this, Alan, because there is a part I want a powerful marketing message going out there to men and straight tens. I was just. Alan, I was afraid that men would think these men are inhuman. This Alan guy, I can't top that. So I'm glad that this morning you came back down to regular human being standards. Can I just creating fun with this?
Yes.
What happened this morning with Alan in your mind, Caroline? What happened from a presence perspective?
It took me a little bit by surprise as well because everything has really been going so well, and straight A's, 10 out of 10s, and everything's moving along magically. And it was simply, I guess it felt like a little jump back in time to actually exactly what it used to be like a lot of the time. So that kind of just not being straight, not being honest, talking around, like putting out a little bit of bullshit, and it might only have been a little bit, but I feel like, okay, I've gotten extra allergic to it now because things are going so well. So I'm calling it out instantly. And of course it also triggers a lot of the things that still are in me, and like that we have dealt with over the years. So I guess that's why like little things can also just suddenly take up so much space because they are triggering in some kind of memories of past behavior that filled with sadness and frustration. So then there was just that little bit after a really a good long period of time, and I was thinking, oh yes, now we have something to talk about on the podcast. No, I wasn't, but I went for a walk on the beach and just thought, I need to clear my head. I need to not be in this. I don't want to argue. I don't want to try to create more bad mood. And Alan was just so quickly to jump in and assert me, assure me that he was there and he was owning up to it. Whereas, like more than a year ago, and in the past, it would have taken such a long time to figure out, okay, what actually went wrong? Can you see it from my perspective? Can you see why it hurt me? And for you to own up to it so quickly and just still be present, still saying, okay, I'm here to fix it. I'm here to recognize what I did, and like, can we please move on? And then it's okay, yes. Then it's much easier to just say, yes, of course we can, and thanks for that.
Yeah, that it's so beautifully articulated, and this is really this fresh power that's coming. I believe, did you listen to Tara and Dwayne's interview, Caroline?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's and such a moving thing for me to really get the explicit feminine perspective on this. Clearly, I've been holding space for my beautiful queen's feminine perspective and her two daughters. I know you have two firecracker of daughters, and at that phase, like Anya, she's 15. What age are your daughters? They seem comparable in age, or
15 and 13.
okay. Yelena is 11, so we're 15 and 11. So. The feminine is well represented in both fortresses.
Oh, yes.
So, what I'm loving about what you're speaking to, Caroline, is one of these key things that, guys listening in that are formal members of the movement, it's a real key thing for them to hear. And of course, guys listening in that might be formal members, is this phenomenon that happens is like the raising of standards. I sort of knew it was coming. The 10 out of 10s, and I did set a challenge to Alan, is like, get the feedback. When you set a new baseline, definitely in the beginning, what, and I would love to touch base with you, Caroline, if just to how these words hit home for you. Matilda definitely has helped me understand what her feeling of it is. It's like the first whole scoring is a sigh of relief. 10 out of 10, because thank fucking God you're not that bad anymore. And it's a genuine, there's a genuine seeing of the progress. And it's also true. With that progress, there's a new baseline which is set, which if when that is established, how you feel emotionally with that new baseline of progress, the emotionality is even more on fire to go, hey, I'm getting used to this baseline. I feel safe, so I'm going to react like 10 times even more on point, more intensely, because fuck you, honestly. You create this safety. Well, you are held accountable, because when I feel I can surrender more completely, I don't have any of my armor on that I used to anymore. D does that hit home for you, Caroline? I know Matilda, th those words are very resonant with Matilda, but does that line up for you?
Yes, it does. It rings very true. But we've been living, in this weird dynamic for such a long time, and I'm sure we're going to talk lots about that later as well. But then suddenly transitioning into this way of living that is so much more in harmony with each other, and it's so much more peaceful, and it's much more fun, and things just, they're easier, and everything's better. So yes, I can feel I had guilt of reacting so harshly, but it's like I can't help it because you just had me up there. I was just being happy, safe, everything was good. So yeah, how dare you then suddenly go back to that pattern that was so bad for us. And and then it's just really, really good that when it then works and Alan is straight back on the not like No, it's not like the apologizing. It's not that. It's just more that you're showing up, that you're showing you're there. And yeah, that was not how I should have handled that. And I'm here. I'm come meet you on the beach. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to go for a swim? Or just something that before I would have been left in some kind of limbo to sort it out myself, to figure out, okay, what do I do with this? Do I let it go? Am I the nagging old bag for the rest of the day? Or do I just pretend everything's fine? What do I do with this emotion? And now there is somebody trying to at least catch me in it and help us along.
I'm really going with the freshness of it. It's so real. So we will talk about the previous stuff and the whole transformation, but it's so real. Alan, so from your, within the culture, we talk about being masculine practitioners. You're practicing, it's the awareness, your mind, learning about your mind, and how it creates reality. So what's your inner world commentary of what happened this morning? You get caught, old patterns come true. I'm putting my hand up, my old patterns to come true. There's like decades of momentum, so there's no judgment in that, but they come true and they have that effect. And your beautiful queen is feeling stung, hurt. What happened this morning inside of you like give commentary and please take us deeper to explain what you now are self-aware of, what there are those old patterns that they took you over. And then more importantly, what is it that you did inside of yourself to react and get back into practice? And as Caroline Parfrey said, hey, you got caught, but you showed up. And she had her king, in conversation a short time later going, hey, in full repair mode. Take us deeper there.
Okay, so once I got the feedback that I was being a bitch, it took me a few minutes to really actually understand it, because when you first told me, I tried to own it, but my reaction was one of bullshitting, not really getting to to actually owning what I was doing. It was more a case of what did you call it? Gaslighting. I was gaslighting you, just trying to say, oh, I straight up lied what I was going to do, but I tried to pass it off as something. Oh, I just didn't communicate well enough, and that was me not slowing down. I was just like, it was a response that came out without me really thinking, and I could see it pissed you off. You went out for a walk, and I had maybe a minute of being a little bit in limbo. Not quite understanding where I'd gone wrong. And then I just kind of slowed down with myself and actually felt what had gone wrong. And I could sense that the intention behind what I was saying, what I was thinking, was from like my temperamental teenager wanting to like just put things under the rug, just kind of swipe it away. We'll carry on with the day and it will be good. I don't have to deal with this argument. We've had such a good time. What's the point of this? So I could feel that intentionality behind these thoughts and feelings. And then I could literally just feel a relaxed state kind of come over me. Like, okay, that's what it was. I could put a name on it and let it go. And then I thought, okay, what is it I want to do for today, this morning? I have these things I said I'm going to do. I'm going to Hoover each day. I'm going to clean up the kitchen, and I made sure I got those things done. And as I was doing them, I was then considering, okay, how best can I support Caroline or bring us back together? Okay, you've gone for a walk, and it's a walk we would normally do together. Okay, I can at least offer to come and meet you, or if you're going to go for a swim because we're close to the ocean, I can come and spot you or swim with you. And I wanted to show that I'm there, I'm ready. I also like properly apologized. And actually put into words how much of a bitch I was being, and seeing my bullshit and saying, but this is where it came from. And I'm ready to move, not move on, but I just said it. I just own my shit without actually putting any kind of like, what's it called? I didn't put any, what's Kyle in English?
Demands.
Demands, thanks. Any demands, on you, just saying, okay, this is an option. I can come meet you, and then you said, come meet me. I'm walking, so I then ran down to the beach, half hoping to get like a running hug, but no, okay, no, I haven't done enough work there yet. So it was again me wanting that, like, just for it to just be better. So there's still that kind of like, there is a me wanting to take shortcuts. I'm kind of like, okay, I'm doing the work. Can you see? No, okay. Alan, you're being a little bitch. You're expecting things to happen. Just relax in there. And I kind of walked and we talked and I grounded myself. I could feel that I do get a bit like a puppy who wants to please, or I want to, there's a bad intentionality between some of my first reactions. So I just kind of slow my breathing down, and I just look at you and think, okay. What's best for the moment, and yeah, just kind of talked calmly, and got us back to a place of connection rather than, yeah, demanding or expecting it to go better. I think a lot of the time I've expected it to go better because I've done the work, but that's not how it should be. Now I can put in the work and just be in it, and know that I've done my best and. Yeah.
Yeah. Caroline, I'm just keeping going with this dynamic. So you went from, well, you didn't, I don't think you gave words to the exact emotional charge that was in you, like that upset or the disappointment, the hurt. Well, what happened in you emotionally? So you're there cheering on the beach, you're processing, will I just, what will I do with this, et cetera, et cetera. And so Alan comes to you. What happens in your nervous system when Alan comes and, as powerfully as he can, as grounded as he can, he owns his shit, he apologizes. What's the change that comes through your emotional inner world experience when that happens?
Well, it's a big desire or wish actually to, part of me really just wants to give him the running hug and to go at him with everything that I have. But these little things, they're still very triggering because it was, well, like those instances were such a big part of our past. Like it wasn't like that if everything was major or huge at all. It was like, yeah, these tiny little stabs of lies or gaslighting or, no, I didn't say that, whatever. So I'm like, I'm having a hard time to try to figure out, okay, why does this little thing actually matter so much? And kind of blaming myself for why can't I just let it go? And I can still feel that feeling of resentment towards myself. Why can't I just leave this? And when Alan comes running towards me, and I really want to leave it with everything I have, because yes, let's just be done with this and get back to that beautiful path we were on before. But I can't let it go that easily. But it's still like that feeling of relief, that feeling of he's coming and he's listening and he. I see a guy who really just wants the best and who is so determined to make it work. And of course, that fills me with relief, and it definitely de-stresses me. And it's not like the instant; it's not just like a button you push, and then I am good and ready to go again. But it's just such a big step forward compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm basically filled with gratitude that you come towards me and that you're here to pick up the pieces and move forward.
I'm loving the you're speaking to this, Caroline, so cleanly and clearly. You have an awesome way of articulating that inner world experience. For guys listening in, I know in myself and practically every guy that I've had the honor and privilege of working with and sharing space and hearing his inner world, there's this all pervasive subconscious fear in the men of the world where it's the Mr. Nice Guy persona I spoke to in the podcast, but it's like so much time with loving mothers. Sometimes they're not so loving mothers, but a lot of maternal feminine energy and a lack of masculine energy. So there's this imbalance. So we end up fearing the feminine, because we don't know how to be masculine. This is not to excuse any of her bullshit. It's like never, ever. It's like it, but mechanistically, there is always a reason. I love attachment theory, those teachings. There's always a reason behind every human experience. Take morality to decide there is. But what I've felt myself and so many guys out there is guys have this fear. Okay, Mark, I'll have one-on-one clients, and the first time I'm like, go to your queen, say sorry, a sincere sorry, own your shit. Like Alan did there, like own your subconscious intention. I recognize there's this part. He's an asshole, he's an early cunt. Like, and just own it. Guys report this deep fear, an absolute visceral fear. It's terrifying of if I do that, Mark, she'll attack me. She'll actually, it will, I will not meet a loving human being. I will meet all out attack of myself. I will be abandoned. And again, it goes into unlovability and childhood. I'm just bringing the awareness to that. I'm hoping guys listening in can vicariously feel into that fear of doing what Alan did and practiced, but no. That's a repeatable process. It's meaningful. I have yet to see one queen of a man that I've been coaching one on one that has turned on her husband, it is healing and received pretty much 100% of the time. And the odd time a guy goes back, she didn't receive it, I'll find that he was insincere in his practice. He was trying to sugarcoat his own bullshit, and his queen's nervous system was like, "Hey, I'm not receiving that bullshit." But it's a repeatable process. So let's zoom out. So thank you for going there, guys. That was just awesome. It's such a beautiful, really, yeah. That breakdown was brilliant, both sides. Thank you. Let's zoom out for a moment, and particularly Caroline, I'm looking for your perspective on this. Alan is this 10 out of 10 king, and apart from the slip up this morning, my God, he's like this Greek god. You're going to be carving a statue of him very soon in Denmark if he goes any more. Not. But it wasn't always like this.
No.
Go. If it's available to you, and this is quite, I'm asking a lot from you, is go to the loneliest part of your marriage journey with Alan, where a part of you is thinking, God, I don't know if I can do this with this guy much longer. Like, when will this ever stop? I love him, and it's also true. There's a part of you knowing you don't want to live with this man, no matter the love, et cetera, if he just keeps going same shit different day like this. What way was Alan showing up, and how was that making you feel with him repeatedly showing up like that?
Yeah, like we've been together for a long time, obviously, so it's hard to think back and properly remember, because our relationship is very much defined by, like, that we met in a crazy situation and everything was so unrealistic, and it was like, yeah, we were not meant to end up together at all, and we still did. And I was so in love and so not feeling worthy of having pulled someone like Alan. So from the beginning of our relationship, it was not even. We were not equals in that kind of, I come from dysfunctional family, like broken home, and really kind of just needed to be seen, just needed to be loved, and desperately wanted Alan to love me in that way that I needed. And yeah, there were that was hard for you. So we've had so many years where it's been up and down. Like, we've had such good times together, amazing times, and then there's definitely been those moments where I've thought, why are we doing this? And I can't handle, like, this, yeah, this loneliness. So I guess it was, I'm sorry if I'm rambling a bit, but the not trusting completely, the intentions and the love that I received. And that definitely comes from, yes, my childhood. You can make a good example of attachment theory to my love life and how I behave. And then the kind of the not receiving a proper honest husband. I think always being nervous, afraid of, what is there, a big lie or is there a small lie? But then everything turns into, a question: is this real? And every good deed, every great act of love, every beautiful thing I received just turned into something I wasn't quite sure I could believe, because there were so many little things that didn't add up, that didn't make sense. So the way of showing up was that the tiny bits of gaslighting, just throughout, and not being let in, that the feeling of, and I think Tara also mentioned that in that episode previously, the not being able to figure out where you were, and trying really to get you to be honest, trying to figure out what you thought, what you meant, but you were saying you were here, you were saying you were good, but it definitely didn't feel like that. And that just makes, that made me question so much, and just like made me really crazy because was I understanding reality correct? Because I didn't always know what to believe with you.
Yeah, there's zero, excuse me, there's zero rambling in that. This is like sacred territory. So absolutely, you're doing an amazing job. One thing, and it's to build safety in for you, Caroline, and also build safety and black and white context to guys listening in. The heroic husband's approach is, we break down relationships when I speak with guys. It's 100%, 100%. So for you in this conversation, Caroline, hey, wounds, childhood, all of that, cool, wonderful. We ruthlessly hack your side off. 100%. Because that's our job as powerful men. What we speak about is be the mountain in the storm. And the storm we define as wounds, woman, and world. And we have our own wounds. And when we can do that job, we can hold space for any of our queen's human experience. And that includes an entire history of woundedness, childhood, and we do not use 1% of that. That's the ideal. Does it ever properly happen? Hey, we go for that ideal. But we do not allow in our practice 1% of our awareness to go, yeah, but the wounds. Because why? Every woman has wounds. Every man has wounds. But as a masculine practitioner, when you have 1% on that story, the whole practice falls. So I just want to bring that into the conversation here, but particular for people listening in. That is why what we define as the heroic husband's approach is so radically different and radically effective. There's 0%. My beautiful queen, Caroline Matilda, I've said it on the podcast and different, but like, I mean, horror. I could vibe with what you said, Caroline, about, oh, this mismatch. I definitely played off that subconsciously. Matilda's parents divorced when she was one. Matilda was, you know, she was the baby that was meant to save the relationship, and she was one and she had already failed. Her granddad was cheating all around Florence. He was infamous for being the architect that screwed every second client's wife. It was astonishing. And the amount of trauma, there was 3 years of sexual abuse, etc., etc. So I, as a man, came into that unwittingly. I, as much as I can, and I keep owning that, look back and go, yeah, I camped out in that. My parents, hey, they passed away in recent years. They were married. You know, I came from a happy family. And I camped out for 12 years of marriage, hiding behind that bullshit. And it's only since meeting men's work and getting deeper and deeper in it going, wow, Mark. It's not a competition, but equally as fucked up, equally as traumatized. And definitely it has served me to just go, Mark, you know what? Your body is transmitting a message and it's evoking a response. Just stop judging Matilda on the response and focus on what your nervous system, and that's the heroic husband's approach. Stop judging the response and realize you have evoked it and you placed your full awareness here. So I bring a little bit of the principles that we practice in for your safety, Caroline. There's 0%. You can speak to your past and speak to it powerfully if you wish, but there's zero pressure on any queen in this entire movement. The heroic husband's approach is to take all that pressure off and allow our queens be human.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's an important thing for you. I want you feeling safe here. But for everybody listening in. Alan, you're here now. You have this retrospective capacity to look back with the toolbox that you now have. Clearly going back, you wouldn't have said a lot of things, but what were you doing when you look back behaviorally? How were you behaviorally showing up? What were you saying? And what was happening in your inner world that you weren't owning, that was creating this turmoil for your beautiful queen that she just didn't know what to trust. The nice things you'd say, but then there just was this continual undercurrent of, I can't trust it. That's nice, but there was always this, that's nice, but there's some visceral part where I always knew there's unknown bullshit 24/7 behind the scenes. So she couldn't relax. Take us into your awareness looking back.
Okay. I think that the good place to start is my the part of me which has struggled for a long time to address what my needs actually are and feel it's okay to speak them. I come from a family where we would often kind of, instead of saying what we needed, we would try and work it out in between the lines what we would say. Okay, I can tell you're a little bit upset today. I'm just going to give you some space. Oh, in the way that you say things or don't say things, you interpret what they mean. And being with you, who's so wonderfully adept at saying what you mean, was very 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 harsh kind of change, or like a harsh environment for me to be in, and not have the tools to then actually change that. So I would often get resentful that you weren't meeting my needs, but wasn't saying to you what they were. And I would try to do what I thought you wanted. And so no one would be happy. Like I couldn't figure out how to take my own needs and take them seriously. But then when I did, it was always around something else, football, training. Then I could set my needs, and but then I would never do it for us, never do it for the things which mattered for our relationship or the way that I related to you. So everything that I got really into, holistic health, and training, etc., and sports, that became like a wedge between us. I showed that I could set my needs first, but I could never ever set you first. You never felt chosen in that. And on top of the resentment that I was hiding and not trying to deal with, was just a really shit cocktail.
Okay, Caroline, how's what memories emotionally, like what's that triggering in you? And it's such a common thing that I've heard, and Matilda's had a version with me, but it's this savage dichotomy of, on one hand, here's this powerful man that can own his needs. Football, that was a career for Alan. He shows up, he's on time, he meets the challenge, he's super disciplined, directional, all the beautiful, what we would call masculine, it's not male, but masculine elements coming through of leadership, focus, vision, attention to detail, getting his shit in order, like all of these amazing things. And yet with you, there's a collapse, there's an absence. Like there's one playbook available for that game, but when he's at home, kitchen table, bedroom, parenting, life, there's an entirely different playbook. Now, what did that savage dichotomy of seeing one aspect of him in one realm being all leadership and the other is zero?
Well, of course, it also made me resentful. Like, so we were these two resentful creatures, resentful against each other. And then it also fed really into my insecurities of not feeling good enough, of not feeling, you know, I wasn't worth planning anything with. I wasn't worth the, yeah, or taking just a, like taking a discussion, you know, oh, should we do this or that? That not feeling like that it was worth actually not going up against me, but just going into the conversation, just participating with something. So it felt very lonely. And of course, in hindsight, it also makes me feel, yeah, like the guilt from not supporting then all the endeavors that Alan went on. But it was so hard for me because I was jealous of football. I was jealous of the projects. I was jealous of the gym that he could go to at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know, but it meant going to bed at 8 o'clock at night, so I wouldn't see him. So it was, yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, I'm autobiographically, reliving things through your story because it's up until relatively recently. I say in the podcast and with guys and that, it's like it's 6 years since my marriage breakdown breakthrough. But like my progress has been really slow but sure. The profundity of that woundedness, yeah, there's childhood both sides. But then there's that secondary trauma of, yeah, Mark. You were such an incessant asshole, unwittingly, but you were an incessant asshole for so long, and none of those were small, tiny things. They were big. They were big. That was like real. Hearing you guys break it down like that, my work, my mission, Heroic Husbands, it's on a level, as for Matilda, it's like, hey. I'm doing this fucking podcast. It's all like I'm incessantly focusing on being a better husband. Like again, that temperamental teenager, look at me, like, how can you give me shit on focusing on this? Like, just be grateful, woman. I could be doing the career thing, jetting around the world, and you wouldn't have me here. I'm just up in the top bedroom. There was, and it was that resentment. It's in the last 6, 12 months, and we had a kick-ass conversation just 3 weeks ago. So it's possibly, yeah, if I'm being real, it's the last 3 weeks, and it was me, like, it's bringing my full truth to Matilda, that leadership, that I've been bamboozled about how much an infinite reserve of support Matilda has for everything I do. But like your ways of verbal of speaking to a Caroline, she was sick and fucking tired of me bringing my epic best incessantly for, oh, there's a call, preparation perfect. Oh, there's a new client, preparation perfect. I'd never miss a podcast episode. It's like she had, I had that for the external mission. I was up until recently where I was like, wow. And it took a real wrangle inside of myself to go, well, that's on you. So again, I'm living out this inner world vicarious leaning into to you guys, which I'm really grateful. So there's this going on behind the scenes, guys. Beautiful love, crazy as fuck. Like, didn't make sense rationally, but you got together. And you're making things happen. It's stuttering, it's going, but it's going. And you create a family and you move into place, etc., etc. But it's not working right. At what point did it come? Who was the first of you that drew a line in the sand that went, enough is enough? Something has to happen, transform, or. There's usually a point that a couple comes to. I tend to have guys, it tends to be a queen gets really pissed, finally, tends to be, not necessarily. What did that look like? What did that leading up to Alan reaching out to Heroic Husbands, and I'm forgetting, Alan, if you tried stuff before, but what brought that point where it was, we got to get fucking real on this?
Well, I think first I wanted to say, like, because now looking back, it seems like that it's such a like it's so many years where we were in this, and I think maybe we tried. I feel like I tried to have some kind of conversation about it, like that this isn't how it should be. But I was afraid to draw the line. Like I was afraid to actually put out an ultimatum because I was still so much in love, and I couldn't face the tragedy I felt it would be, and also like losing face. Like I pulled this guy, I brought him with me to Denmark. I could not let him go, even though we weren't happy as we should have been. So there were times of trying to make a conversation about it, but not being strong enough to actually to probably grab it and like go deep enough for anything And then a lot of the times it then ended up with you saying, well, if I, as soon as I do this, as soon as I've finished working on myself, bettering myself in this, you know, I can give more to you and it will be better. And for some time I was, you know, I was okay, happy with that, accepting that. And at some point I wasn't happy with it. I was just accepting it and then resigning somehow. And then we had some big issues. Like I had cancer 11 years ago. And for that, Alan pulled through, of course, and was like the best support. And that kind of it, yeah, of course, I survived it. And that was brilliant. And it also gave our relationship a new lease in a way, because you know, you go through something that hard, and when you manage that, okay, then there are the other things that don't seem as important. So you kind of, you know, okay, let's cherish what we have. It gave us some fresh kind of energy to keep going and appreciate that I'm not dead. We're together. That's great. And I lost my brother. He got killed. That was like some years later. Another thing that Alan was just there. He supported me. It was hard for the family, and a lot of things happened that of course I couldn't have done it without you. So there was like these. We could have maybe done something before, but we had some other big traumas that we had to get through and that Alan helped me heal from. So it kind of just kept going because we were also connected by that trauma. Like if we hadn't been through that, maybe I would have given up earlier. But I was also seeing more that, okay, what you could be and how you could support me and lift me, and also wasn't ready to let that go. So it wasn't just that I was still crazy in love with him, but also I could see the potential. I could see what could be there. But I just wish that we didn't have to go through absolute tragedy for it to come out. And then yeah, then is it like what I don't know when you set the time, but like a year and a half ago when we actually had the conversation. Maybe you want to tell about that.
So it started out with
I'm just smiling. I'm smiling already. Matilda and myself have been defining that conversation of 3 weeks ago. It's called the conversation. So I'm just like, when you said, "Do you want to tell me about the conversation?" It's like, yeah, as a couple, we have a damn lot of conversations, but I'm really just going, okay, it's that conversation. Okay, Alan.
Yeah, it was you basically kind of said that if we split up, you would be fine. You gone to the point where, okay, I can be in this, but it just, yeah, like the it was like a new level of just kind of giving up in you, and it hit me in a way it hadn't before. And it took, I think it took a little while before I acted and got more got we kind of we found a way to start working on it together. But it was like I can vividly remember her saying that to me, and how it hit me, and how the kind of like that my old pattern of then going into something, thinking I can find the solution somewhere else, wasn't enough. I couldn't just blag my way through it or try and find something which would give us a bit of a better time, but then ultimately go back to the same patterns. And yeah, that was like the real slap to the face, kick to the groin, you know. And from some point, we actually found some, I don't know, some energy together to work towards something together. We actually kind of there was like an openness from me in talking about it, like an intimacy which I hadn't brought before. Like it finally dawned on me what I could lose, and there was a level of depth I shared which I hadn't really done before. I think that really started the ball rolling. How we could actually then start talking deeper and getting to a point where we actually figured out how we want to move forward. And it wasn't too long afterwards I found your podcast. and started doing the exercises and feeling like, okay, this has really given me something. And I think it was maybe 6 months after I actually joined the group. But already at that time, I'd taken some big steps and put myself in situations where I got feedback, like really, really intense feedback, but was being in it and we're trying to spend time with each other and actually focus on, okay, we're going to make sure we are working towards, you know, our relationship rather than me going off on something else. And I was working myself before I can come and spend time with you. It's like, no, we're putting us first. And that really made a huge difference. It wasn't easy because, like, I had to really dive deep because I've never been that intimate before. Yeah, it was what I needed to hear. Like, actually lose you. You were close to it.
Yeah, it makes me so sad to hear you say it and to actually remember it, because yes, it was that hopeless feeling of this man I had loved so much, like, and I just wanted to be loved back in that way that I wished I wanted to be loved back, and having resigned on that, having given up, and just, okay, now we've been in a partnership, we are, you know, logistic mates here in this family household, we're making this ship run smoothly, and the sad feeling of giving up, but what makes it sadder is, of course, that I was like, I was so numb at that time, that I wasn't like, I didn't have any more feelings. I was done. I had felt so much and I'd been so sad and I had feared to lose you like for so long. And then finally I was okay with that. Like, I just didn't want to be in the loneliness of the relationship anymore. And like thinking where we are now, it seems, oh, it's so weird, so crazy to think back on.
We'll shift out of this. We'll shift it up a gear, guys. I want to slow down with you and say, I'm so appreciative and on behalf of everybody, ye slowing down there. This is undoubtedly triggering a lot of people in a beautiful way. So thank you. Thank you so much for going there. But there's no point hanging around there either. So we shifted a gear. Alan, you join Heroic Husbands. It ain't perfect, but we pretend to know a thing or two about how men can own their shit in marriage. You join. What was that experience for your nervous system, Alan, that, of course, with the divine feminine, there's a handbrake that comes up, and yet that intimacy, that practice of into me, you see, that's a universal thing. You know, if you have it with your queen, you'll have it with the world. And you come into this culture where we just beat the fucking doors down with a baseball bat with love, going, let us fucking in. Cut the bullshit. You know, it's like you get 30 seconds through one of the weekly shares in the old format. It was like, hey, a hand comes up. You go, get fucking real, man. Let us in. Cut the bullshit. What are the emotions? Like, well, what's really happening? Don't give us that fluff talk crap. What was that like for you coming in with decades of, okay, I can close the doors, I'll just say nice things and I get these people to like me. But we were like, no, that's not going to happen here.
It was like it was easily the biggest like transformation that I've tried to, like, I've experienced in my body. Like, that kind of, these things have been such huge anxiety, like experiences, sharing, being in intimate situations, being vulnerable. And I've found coping mechanisms to deal with it and to ask a lot of questions, or, you know, and then to suddenly have to sit with it and sit with my emotions and to be kind of guided through what is it like to actually show declarations of love and affection to other men, but to also be called on your shit. It's something I'm so grateful for, and had no idea that I was missing it until suddenly I got it. Until suddenly I was like, okay, this is the secret sauce that I've been missing. Because suddenly it's okay. I can see it's okay. I can see it's okay to be a masculine man who's powerful, but he's also vulnerable. He's also owning his own shit. He's a complete arsehole a lot of the time, but he's owning that. And yeah, there's this beautiful kind of visceral feeling in your body of relaxation and being in it. Like, I remember being in the group and just the calmness that would come over me, and we would come into space together, and we'd often take, a few minutes meditation. But like, that was the most relaxed I was the whole fucking week. I look forward to it because it was just such a, okay, we're together with each other and we're going to be real. Yeah, that was immensely powerful. So that was really great. But then I started to go back to lone wolfing. There is another dip before it goes good.
Oh, don't I remember, Alan?
Yeah, that and that was that turned into be a really, really good point. But so it was really good, and then I went back to old ways, and it went bad again for us. And yeah, I don't know, what was your experience of when I started? I kind of like kind of started the wolf again. Do you remember it?
Not like that clearly, but I will say that I wasn't very invested in your men's group, like, because I had seen you do a lot of projects, a lot of new ideas and new things you wanted to try, and yeah, I was still resentful towards any new fun thing you wanted to do, so I just thought, okay, you do it and I'm doing all my stuff, it's fine. But then suddenly, feeling this shift, like, and it wasn't like that you wanted to tell me things and I said no, I don't want to hear. It was just you just did it, and I didn't know much about what was going on. Then suddenly feeling a change in reactions, and of course, if I had known like this could maybe happen or this was what you wanted to get out of it, I would have been prepared for it, but I wasn't. So it was that kind of that weirdness of, you're in some kind of situation that you've been in many times before. I'm saying something, and I'm just automatically expecting that you're going to come back with whatever you usually come back with. And suddenly you'll own up to it, or you won't go away. You'll still be there. You'll be looking at me where before you would have like poof, gone out the room. So feeling those little changes, like, is that what it's doing? Is that why, or have you just changed? So it took me a little bit of time to like put two and two together, but I really enjoyed that this new way of reacting and how we could deal with challenges in a nicer, easier, and a lot more constructive way. And then I think, yes, a lot of things also happened that suddenly everything was worse again. But I don't remember things completely, like what led to what. It was just suddenly realizing, oh yeah, we're back to something that isn't that good again.
Yeah, and the reactions from you were a lot stronger. I felt like the feedback was so much more direct, and you had tasted something much better. And then I was not bringing the standards at all. And it fucking hurt. It was hard to deal with, because I had been showing up, and then I wasn't.
Yeah, there's a line in Dave Allen's book about productivity. Oh man, the name of the book.
What, the book? Get things done.
Getting things done. Thank you, sir. And what Dave says, and it's all about the path of self-mastery. And I'm robbing it from him. I want to quote him, but it's like, the better you get, the better you better get. And it's this perfect wording. His idea about productivity is like, when you get really good at productivity, you better get better because you're going to do so much more. You're going to have so much more to do. So it's this, like, you're fucked when you start getting better. Like, the mediocrity part of our persona is totally screwed. I should have Guy sign a disclaimer going, hey, you're going to enjoy, and she's going to think you're so great, and then you're going to relax off, but she'll have set a new standard and you're fucked. But it's not that clearly it's the games. You're not fucked. Actually, you've started playing the game of the ultimate game where goddess, godliness, calling the divine and the divine feminine feedback goes, hey, I'm getting used. I'm going to crank up the pressure, which you relax into the old ways, but now you've evoked more feminine directness, and you just can't not play that game. So, Alan, you did that powerful thing. You sneakily joined a movement, and your queen didn't know what was happening, and she justifiably, like my queen, went, oh, you know, same shit, different day. It's just another one of these fucking self-help, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever, you know. But you brought this change. So again, this principle, your body is transmitting a message that's evoking response. And something happened in the message your body was transmitting, and it was evoking a different response. So Caroline's nervous system went, wow, okay, I can feel safer to be more direct, to be more blunt. And then you start lone wolfing. Talk to us there, because that is such a key thing with men. And I love that you're the perfect embodiment of it, because you went into it quite deeply, the lone wolfing again, but you've come heroically to far side. So, but we tend to do this as men, where we can, by necessity, go, oh God, she's giving me an ultimatum. Oh God, she's real. Oh God, I could lose her, and not only her, my kids and our life together. And necessity is this beautiful, incredible thing, but things come better, and we go back to old ways, and we're like, oh, but it's easier. You know, back then when I could just like freeload, and all of this fucking commitment and discipline, and Lord darn it, do I have to be in every conversation like that? You know, can I not just do the presence when I'm feeling good? You know, I'd pull out the good shots, but can I not just be a lot of guys when I'm coaching them, I'll hear this coaching or in the groups. At some point, nearly every guy in some way, shape, or form goes, Mark, why do I have to do all the work? And that's when my evil laugh comes. And I remind guys, because 95% of the time, did you ever, this is Caroline, this is like the in behind the scenes, what goes on? So little sneak peek of what goes on. What I will classically say to men when they bring that disgruntled, you know, I'm doing all this work, Mark. I mean, she's not working her fucking shit. Why do I always have to? I ask two questions. 95% of men that come in are parents. I'm like, did you pass a 7 or 8 pound beautiful being through your pelvis at any stage in your life? Ever. Okay. Niente, nada. Like, you're losing this game. You know, and it's the reminder to men and guys listening in. I just had to really look at this and go, I have a memory of being in that room with Matilda going, oh my fucking God. I've had moments when that, when I've two memories, Anya and Elena, I have two memories. They're the things I call upon when I have been caught in my gnarly cunt mode, when the four horses of my persona's apocalypse has been, and I'm outside in the yard going, stomping up and down. You've built a podcast. Why the fuck? Your whole business is built. She can take it all from you now, and like, fuck her, you know. Yeah, and I just go in intense moments. 30 hours in labor. One mention of, hey, the doctors are going to have to come in force, like Ireland is to still try and do forceps. 30 seconds later, Yelena's in the world, and like, Anya, I've one memory, like one memory of them. I'm back into, get the fuck over yourself, Mark. Get the fuck over yourself. And all of this fog of bullshit. And the second one, and this is just the sort of inside track. I have like the second thing I'll say, Caroline, is, well, I remind guys of when did your initiation start? Because I know when my living with our daughters, they were 10 and a half and they started bleeding once a month. And I had one moment that I might have spoken on a podcast. I forget sometimes where I've shared or not, but it's coming really live here. I remember Caroline having one experience with Anya. She's 15 now, but it was early days. I don't know. Have I shared that with you, Alan?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I remember going in. This is coming from the bedroom. This is Batilda's my bedroom, and it's the center of the empire. This little corner of her room, in the far bedroom in our house, it's the girls' bedroom, and I went in. One day, I was needing Anya for something, and she was lying on the bed, middle of the day. And she was in the midst of the most intense cramps. She couldn't walk. She hadn't eaten that day. And literally, I have tears to the back of my eyes because it locked in. I was so emotional. Tears started coming down my cheeks. Because there was some part of me finally fucking got it. Here she was at 10 and a half, and she was so gracious. She was so gracious. She was not angry with the world. She was there. It's like, Dad, I'm just my whole body and I have so much pain. I'm just trying, I'm breathing through it, you know, I'm breathing through it. And I tried reading for a bit, but I'm just not feeling. And but I'm fine, Dad. And I've tears coming down my eyes at that point, and I looked at her and I was like, Anya, see what's happening now. What you're doing is your initiation. You're 10 and a half. You will go through this every 28, 29, whatever days, you know, for many, many years to come. You're earning the right, as it happens, a seamster. Sexual preferences is men by how they're hunting down Timothée Chalamet at the moment. As like, you are earning the right every moment you surrender and go through this to absolutely fucking haul ass with any man that has the honor and privilege of ever being your boyfriend. And my God, if he ever becomes your husband. You are earning the right now to call him to the highest account because you are earning the right. His initiation will happen through your feedback. I fucking got it. I had tears down my eyes. It's like I finally got it as a man. And it was only having a daughter and having that level of empathy of there was nothing I could do for her. There's nothing she was wanting me to do. She was surrendering into the initiation, and that's what I bring to guys, and I bring it up here, not just for this beautiful conversation, but it's to for every guy listening in. When you're stuck in that, you know, gnarly cunt fucking part of your mind where you're looking at your queen and you're like, and you're lost in that moment. Just remember, she has went through initiations from when she was like 10, 11, 12. We started being initiated when we're in our mid-20s, late-20s, maybe early-30s. Maybe some of us, you know, you come to this work. It's your first men's meeting when you're absolutely fucking grilled. It's decades later. I just wanted to bring that context. Does that hit home for you, Caroline, as a woman that clearly has went through this? Alan hasn't went through it. I haven't went through it. What does that perspective bring to you if you knew that the men of the world would take this bloody message on board?
I've got tears in my eyes, Mark. It's beautiful. And I think I feel seen in such a deep way, and like thank you for bringing it out. And you know, I want to say thanks on behalf of my daughters. And you know, I hope they'll be seen the same way, because I've never I never heard it like that, so it brings up a lot of emotions. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that. I'm just being real here. Alan, you did the lone wolfing.
I did.
So you evoked a response, your beautiful queen brings more feedback, and then you start disengaging. You clearly brought that, and it's not to bring too much of the exact process, but you brought the lone wolfing, and there was a lot of own judgment and stuff behind the scenes. And you had, when you guys talk about the conversation, Caroline, Alan, and myself, I don't know how much of the exact details, but Alan and I can say to Alan, do you remember that meeting?
Yes.
And Alan has had lots of meetings. Alan knows there's only one meeting I'm talking about.
That's correct.
So, Alan.
I also remember Alan coming up from the basement from that meeting. So,
Okay, well, I really want to hear the juice of, yeah, what you met coming up the stairs. But, Alan, you got caught in a flurry of your own persona shit. I've got caught in hundreds of flurries of my own persona shit. But you got caught for a period of time. Maybe it seemed from the outside, it was like several months. So there was a momentum of breakthrough, and then followed by a momentum of old disengaging, lone wolfing, making excuses. You came into a powerful bunch of men, and we hauled your ass to getting fucking real. What happened in your nervous system in that moment?
I was forced to be in the feelings of what of actually facing my bullshit, like of. I've had this. I had this inner monologue, in a story that I was the world's best bullshitter, so I could sniff out other bullshitters, but I was still bullshitting myself as much. Like, it got to see myself so clearly through the masculine feedback, which was so direct, so forceful, and but also with love, because it wasn't just like. Like you made the distinction between anger and aggression, and it was anger. It was setting boundaries. It was keeping everyone safe in the group, and it brought out humility in me and actually facing where I am, which I've never done before. I've never experienced boundary setting and being kind of like seeing my own shit to that level. And it was deeply inspiring and also overwhelming, but just like it was almost like a reset for me to kind of to finally wake up
Yeah.
to that I can't just keep pushing through this. It's not enough.
Okay. Well, without going into further details, I think you've got to the heart essence after that. Caroline, I'm just smiling here going, well, who was that guy that came up the steps from the basement? What did you meet?
I think I was actually proud because I had you told me a little bit, dropping hints that, oh, maybe you didn't need the group anymore. Maybe you would be okay. You could do this now on your own. And I just thought, okay, again, not just feeling okay. You decide, you do what you want to do in this. And then you came up and I didn't get all the details, but you had been told some truths. And I think from how you then actually held yourself in it, that I felt proud and I felt like that this was a new you, because I know how afraid you are of conflicts and how much you would do anything to shy away from them. So just to hear that you had been there in the center of the storm and you'd taken it and you were absorbing it, you were taking it in, you were like still contemplating and me not knowing exactly what had gone on, I just felt actually this feeling, okay, it seems like you've got this. Like you're handling it. You've just been faced with some hard shit and now you're figuring out what to do with it. So it was a feeling of pride and like a again, like you had, we'd had a bad patch again, but all these kind of the good ways you surprised me in our relationship. Oh, you can do this. Oh, you can react like this. Wow. So again, it was something where I thought like this seems like it's making you grow, and that was exciting for me to witness.
It's so nourishing to hear the word pride. I know Matilda never used that word, and there was it's come in. So I have that visceral experience myself going, I know what it takes, and it damn sure needs to take that level of, that's initiatory. Like, and I feel that's when Matilda has used that word. There's some knowing, okay, you have been tested to your limits, but your response. So, that I know myself that experience that we're having, and I don't want to speak too many details to it. It's within a confidential container within leadership, but I did speak very powerfully on Alan's behalf within a certain context in a conversation in leadership of that challenge that I set and how I brought every guy in that space to hold Alan to account. I'm pretty fucking ruthless when I go in there with love. That was in the top two or three of calling men to account in the history of the old platform of men's circles, Heroic Husbands men's circles. It and Alan, I'll say, like, I'm really happy that, clearly Caroline gets that. Clearly she's going to get it, but that you really transmitted that message that evoked that response, because that was an awesome challenge of your core. That was, I've been there myself. That's why I have zero sympathy on any guy. I've been there multiple times. I've been with powerful men that have supported me, and I learned to shut the fuck up and not argue with the process. Like, some of my greatest breakthroughs happened when I wanted to just burst into tears in the presence of other men that were calling me on bullshit. Like, really, just 5-year-old, I want to run down to my room, roll up in the duvet like I used to always do, because that was the only way I could feel safe. Having that entire impulse come over me, but go, shut the fuck up, Mark. And having tears down my face going, shut the fuck up. This man, these men, they're loving you. Shut the fuck up. Just breathe. And you did that. You did that sublimely. And yeah, awesomely. So there seemed definitely from the outside, Caroline, there seemed to be, that was like a key moment for Alan. Because from my perspective, relating with Alan so intimately, it's night and day. The Alan pre that meeting, yeah, there was efforts, but that meeting shook something, and it's like he found his core. I feel that it's been night and day. It's Alan has shown up in my world as intimately, nearly, clearly not nearly as intimately as you will see him, but it's been this, wow, he's a man possessed. I have found that when I say anything in the King's Coaching calls, he's fucking obsessively paying attention to details, the detail and the sincerity and the tenacity. It's really there. It's just a beauty to be in men's work, to have that receptivity. What has been the response your side? Clearly it's the response sort of led up to, hey, 10 out of 10, I'm not filling out that questionnaire, get out of here, you're 10 out of 10 and everything. What has that response looked like and felt like to you with that level of realness, and it seems a level of consistency that hasn't been there?
Well, it's given me, or it's given our whole family a new safe container to exist in, and yeah, more joy, like more happiness, and just not that things don't have to be as heavy as they used to be. So I've experienced just like a better husband, a husband I can brag about, and it's been the feeling of, I can't tell my girlfriends about this. I can't tell my friends because they'll hate me if I, because we're all nagging about our husbands, and that's like how we talk to each other. And it's best to have as many problems as possible. So I want to brag about him, but there are so many things I can't say because they don't want to hang out with me anymore. But you know, but I know it, and I also hope that you Alan, feel that
I
I
do.
can show you more. So it has improved. It has improved our lives together in so many ways. But it also then made me realize more because of my past, my insecurities. I have always thought, okay, when Alan loves me enough, everything will be fine, and I will be fixed once he shows me this, like this level of love that I show him. And then kind of now receiving, you know, so much goodness and feeling this love on this whole new level has also then made me realize, okay, I'm still broken. There are things that this love from Alan actually, like, it can't fix everything, that I have to work on myself, that, oh my God, how do I get to love myself more? Because just being loved by this amazing man, okay, yeah, it's not gonna fix me. So that has been hard for me to realize, because, oh my God, I have to fix something now. I have to do some work. I have to look into stuff. I don't know how I'm gonna do that, but yeah, but then I feel like, yeah, Alan's there to then help me with that. And so it's bittersweet, because I feel like it's all there. Everything I wanted in a way is coming to life now, but then realizing that it doesn't make everything rosy, because I'm still broken in ways that can't just be fixed. But then to know that I have my solid support next to me who will get me through it is, yeah, that's the next step.
You're speaking. I'm so loving Tara first, and now you, Caroline, to speak that deepening. Because there's so much marriage work out there, and it's like it's incomparable. It's cool. It brings results, so it's going to be beautiful. But it's like, oh, 3 months. That's it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? You know, it's this profoundly sick society of, you know, you go from dysfunctional to functional. Functional is easy. Getting conversing, hey, a couple, you know, I know how to get guys to functional within 3 weeks. One-on-one coaching, if I can go, that's 3 weeks. That's it. 4 or 5 weeks if they're particular hard nerds. Functional at a really high level, above. Just, you know, the things, you know, the setup, teach guys a couple of if-thens. That's functional. What I really passionately want to get, like on a societal level, and, you know, and it's just beautiful. I love, Caroline, you're leaning in so beautifully to this conversation emotionally, and you, Alan, this connectedness of functional ain't good enough. Functional, we're not even at 1% of human capacity, of emotional expressivity, of creativity, of the healing. Like, it's 4 or 5 generations of intergenerational healing that we're, you know, that's us. And I love that your intuition is bringing that to the surface, Caroline. It's like, oh, this is so cool. Oh, fuck. Am I safe to actually surrender? That's been one of the most frightening things for Matilda. Oh, you got your sh shit sorted. I've been poking at you, and oh, you are actually dismantling the storm. You're not just putting that shit on a t-shirt and thinking it's cool. That, like, you are actually relentless in holding that container. I call that safe container, secure, authentic, full expression. Secure, authentic, full expression is a whole lot of a human experience, which is finally being able to relax and go, wow, I like the trauma-informed words, the brokenness I intermittently use in myself as well, Karen, so it's no commentary, but it's like to unstick or to unfreeze that full orchestra that we had to leave behind in childhood and go, because mom, dad, stepdad, bully, abuser, life told us you have 200 instruments in the orchestra, just, you know, carve out a life with two or three of them and just don't play them too loud and see the rest, just, you know, leave that shit in the shed. Alan shows up like this. I know I've been showing up for Matilda. Matilda's slowly but surely going, fuck, you can actually hold space for all of my orchestra. And when I play that shit, it sounds god awful the first, it's really full of fear and it's full of, and you can actually hold space for that, Mark. You can actually love me. I'm feeling horrible and broken, and you're there showing up more and more. The more I go to my dark side, the more you actually ground in and breathe into that. Wow. I love that you're speaking that, Caroline and Alan, your beautiful queen. You can't evoke that without incredible practice. There's this game going on. You're just such a representation of what is so perfect and amazing about two humans coming in love together. I am in total celebration of you. And it's early days. We say in the movement, we try to say these cool things to sound cool. They will be printed on t-shirts soon. But it's like it's day one, always get back to practice. I coming into landing here, guys, and I hope you have a few minutes just beyond. You've been evoking such inspiration from me. Where to next, Caroline, for Alan? That's one important thing I asked Dwayne's powerful queen. So 10 out of 10, and okay, you had to haul his ass there this morning, but when you relax into the idea that he's a king, the infinite game, that's what Heroic Husbands is doing. That's what we'll haul his ass to the next level. We're not happy as a bunch of men going, yeah, Alan, I wasn't impressed. I gave him a big roasting comment going, get the fuck back in there and like demand like that she just digs deep. Where to next for Alan? Beyond that initial baseline 10 out of 10, which is sacred, which is beautiful, which is well earned from him. What do you feel you need to demand from him next? Where is his next level as a husband, as a dad, as a man?
That's a really difficult question because I feel like I couldn't even have dreamt that it would be like this. So to think of, oh, can I get more? What more can I have? It's such a weird thing to imagine. But I think what impresses me most, and there are a lot of things in this that are impressive to me, but that is when I see the courage, when I see like that he can hold himself in a storm. Whether it's with feedback from you or feedback from me, or when I just see you be courageous and be brave. I know the things that terrified you before to do and to claim your space in hard situations. So when I see that, I get proud, even if it's if it's coming up against me, it's still brilliant to see because it's oh it's that. Is that courage? Is that strength that I've been? I just wanted to see something, and seeing it is, it's emotional, and that's what I would love for you to show even more courage to come into the strength of owning your space more and beating down bad guys for me and all that stuff.
Beautiful. Guys, do you have a few minutes to come into landing?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry, what does
Yes.
that mean?
No,
Something I don't know.
I'll show you my watch.
We have time.
Just a few minutes. You've evoked me. You've knocked me out of my time integrity with you guys. Just this conversation could go on forever. It's so nourishing and just so precious. Coming into landing, it's a question I've asked all the guys when they come on, and it's really to evoke from within yourselves. There's that lone wolfing thing that guys do, and I do know, I feel there's a lot of beautiful queens listening in, and maybe some couples listening in, but whoever's listening in, let's say there's a husband listening in, and oh God, it's okay for Alan, but it's okay for Dwayne before, but like me, I don't know. Will I have what it takes? And you're now the far side knowing what this looks like and feels like, and you're feeling that this is an infinite game and happily ever after is not this bullshit Disney, story. It's actually real. Like, this is like the real deal, repeatable process. You can grow old together but feel younger and younger and younger. Because what would you say to a guy across a cafe that you meet in Denmark somewhere that is just going, "I don't think so"? If you got real with that guy, what would you say to him, Caroline?
I don't know if this is going to be the right answer for that, but we've talked several times as a couple about other couples we know, good friends, where the men have like either they've been what's it called? But they've been cheating, or they've been also showing pretty bitch boy behavior, and you've said, "Oh, I should talk to him. I wish we were close enough that I could." I could go to him and actually just
Wake him up.
wake him up a little bit, or tell him how he could also see it, and those things just don't happen. And as a female, I have friends that I talk, what they seems like I talk deeper with my friends than other men do with their normal guy friends, that you did with your normal guy friends before. And this group of men, this circle now, your community, you have a connection. You dare to speak to each other. You dare tell those hard truths that you need to hear from those guys. And I would recommend it so hard to anybody who, any man. I don't know. I don't know any other men who have those good connections, who have somebody they can actually talk to on this level, and to see how it has improved your life, improved my life, and just how meaningful it is to have those connections. And I'm not like I'm not jealous that you don't talk to me about those things. It's so wonderful. I'm just so happy that you have good people to talk to, real people. So if there was a guy in a cafe in Denmark sitting and bitching about his life or being lonely or not having somebody to talk to, I would recommend that he found you guys.
Alan, and maybe not I brought the Danish idea, but I know if I made a commentary about Irish guys, it would be the same thing. Oh, for fuck. Let's within the context of, yeah, they're bitching, but they're on the fence because the guys are guys listening in. They have had some crack of openness, of humility to go, "I got to get my shit together." They wouldn't be listening in, and they wouldn't listen in for more than 5 minutes of this podcast if they weren't ready to get real on some level. So there is some sliver of openness there, but the courage to go, "Fuck it, let's just give this a shot and, cross my fingers and hope that this will work for me." What would you say to that guy that has that sliver of openness but is still on the fence?
I would say that you cannot work on your shadow alone. You cannot see the places where you need to work without other men who can make you face what you need to face. I, like we, like Karen, you've been giving me feedback for many, many years. It's only now that I can listen to it, and on a deeper level, I can take it in. I can feel it, and I can do something about it. And that's because I've gotten the feedback to see who I truly am, and have the tools to deal with it. But if you're sitting there alone thinking you do it alone, I tried since my daughter was born in 2009, reading books, learning about the shadow, wanting to go on all these different courses, searching everywhere for something, and it never, ever fucking made a difference. Being together with men who claim their shit and hold you accountable is all you need.
Such powerful and beautiful words, guys. Thank you so much for bringing that at the end. I thank you on behalf of every single human being that listens to this and the other 99.999% of humanity that might listen to it. I thank you from them as well. This takes incredible courage to come here, incredible courage to do what you're doing together as husband, wife, king, queen, godly god and goddess, all the sacredness in it. I'm so inspired. I am so inspired in every single bit of this story that you're unfolding. This is a beautiful love story. We do love stories here, Matilda and myself, so it's just so inspiration. This is like better than any film or any Netflix. This is the real deal lived out. Caroline, Alan, you're fabulous. You're amazing human beings. I just wish you absolutely all the best. But you've got the repeatable process there in that man. And Caroline, grill his fucking ass. Grill his ass. Bring out the godliness.
Thank you so much, Mark, for everything.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I
You're
appreciate you. I appreciate this space you create for us.
so welcome.
See
Thank
you at
you.
the beach.
So, yeah, see you guys at the beach. So coming into London, you have it there, guys. Caroline and Alan, to put the gauntlet down to you. If it's available to Alan, if it's available to Caroline, it's available to you no matter what the situation. That is the stuff. All it takes is 10, 20 seconds of courage to say, screw it, let's do it. You get in the podcast description, you click the link, and hey, we'll back it up. Happily ever after will be in your hands. You'll have the playbook that actually works just like Alan. It'll be down to you whether or not to use it. With perfect love and in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.